And welcome to the fifth Modern Drunkard podcast. This is Frank Kelly Rich with Nick Plummer and our special guest, Sid Pink, who some of you might remember as our master of ceremonies at how many Modern Drunkard conventions, Sid?
Three
of them.
Yeah, three out of four.
75%. That's a D plus.
Which one did you miss?
Doesn't sound as good when it's three out of four.
Was it the fourth one that you missed?
I missed the sucky one, because if I wasn't there, you're bullshit. By default.
Today we're drinking gin and tonics with plum bitters, which is, I think, is your favorite.
That is my favorite new drink.
We can call it the Sid Pink.
I have to call it the Sid Pink, too, because I had the original Sid Pink. Which is what gave me pancreatitis. Oh, stupid drink.
Okay. What was that song?
Oh, that song was because Hunter Thompson's death day was 3 days ago. It's a tribute to him. It is Ralph Steadman and Hunter Thompson doing Weird and Twisted Nights.
And that was him on the telephone?
Yeah, he literally phoned it in. But that was actually Ralph Steadman singing, and you know, acquitted himself pretty well, I would say.
Yeah, I agree. Hell of a sax solo, too.
Yeah. Sax solo he knew was he a could fucking die. Panty soaker. And which one of us is getting shot out of a cannon as part of this celebration of the death day?
So
I mean, I'll kill myself, so I'll do that part, but I don't know if I want to be shot out of a cannon.
So explain to our listeners, what do you do for a living?
What exactly
besides
do
hosting
you do,
Mr.
Pink?
Oh, besides the plum job, no pun intended, of hosting the Modern Drunkard conventions.
And no pun made.
And plum bitters.
Yes, indeed. I
know. Zing of the two-step variety.
Oh, we got it.
What do I do for a living? Well, I host and promote events, including sometimes Lucha Libre, which is Mexican wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do video production and content development under the themimsbrothers.com. That's my plug. The Mims, M-I-M-S, brothers.com.
The shameless self-promotion part of the evening.
Yeah. Oh, and the other thing I do now is make rock music with my band, American Fuck Tape.
American Fuck Tape.
Fuck Tape.
I like that
That's the name of the band.
Yes. Also the website, AmericanFuckTape.com.
How did you come up with that?
I'm
assuming you were drunk.
Yep,
Well, yeah.
And I know there's like a, you know, there's a dubious tolerance of what other toxins, whether they're accepted or not. So perhaps I was drunk and more, or drunk plus, as we say. I was drunk plus. Yeah, that's how I came up with it. And I was like, I didn't have a band at the time. I just had the name. And then I had this devastating thing happen to me. So I called up my great friend, Kyle Jones, who owns the Sleeping Brotherhood studio, where they mix like the Flobot record and all this stuff, like a real record.
You're like a plug machine, aren't you?
No, I'm just telling the story. You asked me a story? And so I was like, there's only one way through this. It's me making a record. And I hadn't written a note of a song. And he was like, all right.
So what do you play in the band?
I play the face of myself. I sing and I play the guitar.
All right.
Why was I doing that long plug? Because I had always imagined I'd have a band called American Fuck Tape for like 5 years.
Hmm.
So he was like, "What's it called?" And I said, "American Fuck Tape." Then once we started going on the record and all that shit, and we're gonna do a show, I was trying to shamelessly promote as I am doing now, and talk to Dave Herrera, who's the music editor of Westward here. Mm-hmm. And he's like, "American Fuck Tape," and I said, "Yeah. Why then?" And I said, "Hey, listen, it's real fun to say and real hard to promote. Just let me tell you that much." Because enjoy a challenge. That's why I'm here.
That's what musicians aim for, is to have a really hard to promote band.
Yeah. Right? Because rock and roll is too easy.
Yeah.
You know,
so
three times over.
I make sure to have everything suck just enough to not ever get any gigs. That's my goal.
Oh, good. Well, you're doing well then.
Thank you. Yeah, I do try.
It makes it easier for us because we don't have to fly our way out of not going to your shit.
Exactly. You're like, "Oh, no.
I can't.
Oh, you got a gig. Jeez, I don't want to go."
Oh, goddamn.
That's all you have to say, and it works out.
So, Nick, I see you're drinking gin, which you've always told me you really hate gin.
Well, you know, anything for Sid.
Man.
The reason why I hate gin, do you want to hear that story?
I do.
Quickly.
Okay, it takes place in late 80s Boulder, and I was leaving a party after drinking warm gin. And a guy walked up to me and said, "Don't I owe you $5?" And what do you say? "Well, sure." And he said, "Well, here's 2 hits of acid," which didn't seem weird at the time because it was late 80s. Boulder, and so I took the acid and ended up belching up gin for 12 hours while tripping on LSD.
But you were like drinking it straight, like warm gin.
Straight, warm gin straight out of the bottle, that's trying to prove how manly I was. That's not how you know, when
you never listen to Kiss?
When you're 19,
yeah,
you know, you'll do stupid stuff like that.
Right.
So.
You'll drink for moves, luckily now that I'm a million years old, I never do stupid shit. Not even
But yeah, with the plum bitters, it's not so bad. So.
Well, I appreciate your going solidarity for one round. I'll let you off the hook for doing one.
Oh no!
Yes, Sid, you've always struck me
as... I'm
here
for the long, long haul.
As a man of many vices but few bad habits.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I think that's true.
You know, I know you do a lot of chemicals and drinking. And I such, have, but you always seem to be very much in control of yourself.
I'd like to purport myself as a gentleman, as do you, most of the time.
Most of the time.
I'm puking up LSD gin.
Yeah, well, I was 19.
I think that's why I was drawn to this whole culture that you have created, in my mind, that you've created. Because I said, hey, man, you can drink. Like anything, there's some people who shouldn't drink, not because they're bad or anything else. They just, like, some people shouldn't drive. They don't know what the fuck they're doing.
They just aren't good at it.
They're
sure.
No good at it. Right. So I take that as a very great compliment. Thank you.
You should.
I've never slurred. I've never tripped. I've never been in a fight.
God.
I don't do any of that. I purport myself as a gentleman. All right. That's you were saying. No bad habits.
So you're better than us. Is that what you're saying?
But I don't have. I didn't know how to say that. That's very no. Let's.
You
I
just
I
want it
toast
all
that,
out of the
that's
open.
Very flattering.
Well, if
that
we're
going to
toast,
well, that's the first. Just to you.
Okay.
Okay.
And then the next one, let's do the next one right now. Donner Thompson. He died 7 years ago. -3.
Here's the doctor.
So.
So you got some booze news?
We are drinking right now on the day of Purim, which is basically has been called the Jewish Mardi Gras.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, your goal is to get so drunk you do not know the difference between, and I'm going to pronounce my Hebrew horribly.
You already did with
Arur Haman and Baruch Mordecai, which basically you're supposed to say those two phrases, drink so much that you can't tell the difference between those two phrases. And they're very different phrases. So that is a very... amazing goal to set for yourself and Jewish friends. So happy. How do I pronounce it right? Do you know? No.
Purim.
So
if only Sam was here, Fancy Sam.
Yeah, Fancy Sam might. Yeah. But anyway, so your goal on this day is to get really, really drunk so that you can't tell the difference between two.
And typically Jews don't drink, so it might be easier for them because they have low tolerance. It might be two drinks and they're
done. Jews don't drink a lot.
But the ones who might be able to chase
Shevitz,
that down.
Which
yeah, they
the
have
worst,
that horrible
which is the
wine.
Worst wine ever.
Oh, yeah, they it's have the shit booze. Yeah.
It's made out of Concord grapes.
Those.
Which are well known to being great wine grapes.
They make jelly out of
great
that,
everything
right?
Grapes, yeah. Right?
Give me some of that jelly wine.
Great, also known as some great wrath grapes.
Okay, and what other booze news do you have?
Well, Maker's Mark. That was definitely
victory.
Victory for the drunken masses. Thank you
absolutely.
Very much.
Absolutely, that was drunken populism.
Here's to social networks putting the turn on the right way the marketplace should go.
Yeah.
Basically, makers said that they were going to lower the proof,
right?
And everyone came out and said, "Hell no!" So they raised the price, but they didn't lower the proof. Some people think that might have actually been a really good bit of bait and switch.
I don't think so, because they actually produced some of the shitty product that was released, apparently. And apparently this a bourbon expert tried it, and he said, yeah, you can definitely tell the difference. I know he has a superior palate, but he said he tried two next to each other, blind taste tests, and he said, I could definitely tell the difference.
Well, but imagine all the people going out and hoarding. I mean, it sure gave them a great bump in sales right before they put out the crappy product, because people were out there like, I'm going to get a couple cases of the Maker's Mark that's the original high proof.
Well, the CEO, Mr. Samuels, claims it was the worst week of his life. And he says he turned around because he got thousands of emails and phone calls.
And death threats. I'm sure death threats. You know,
there might have been a few in there.
Yeah. But also Twitter.
They can't trace that to me.
Yes.
I actually, the day it happened, I went out there and I bought... boycottmakersmark.com, and I put up a a thing on our website saying, you know, boycott Maker's Mark, and I was ready for another war like we did with Jack Daniels. Yep. And they backed
up. Which we're still at the war with Jack Daniels.
It's true. I have not drank Jack since it happened.
They did lower the proof and raise the price rather than one or the other, which, you know, is just and didn't announce it.
They tried to sneak it.
And I was a conscientious objector to that war.
Well, you don't do brown.
But I wanted my brothers to get what they want, but it had no impact on me.
Well, the boycotts with Jack Daniels still continues to this day.
Yeah. As it should.
Yeah.
Because they didn't
listen. Well, I'll be honest. I didn't like the flavor of Jack Daniels in the first place.
I did.
So it's no big blow to me.
It was not a bourbon. It's a Tennessee whiskey. But that's what I drank. I was raised on it. My dad drank. And I have not drank it since, to my knowledge. Somebody could have slipped something in at a party or something.
You could have been slipped the Jack.
Yeah.
All right.
Getting jacked.
We'll go on to another bit of alcohol news.
I'm going to go to the bathroom. Just keep going without me.
Okay.
You have the news.
Well, we can take
a break. No, continue. No, let's do the news.
All right, so this one's really got me pissed off, and it was an article in the American Journal of Public Health linking alcohol and cancer.
I heard about that.
And I looked deeper into the article, wondering how they linked it, and it's basically one of the things that they said is they analyzed 2009 U.S. mortality data alongside sales-based data on per capita alcohol consumption. Basically, and then they linked alcohol use to oral cavity, larynx, esophagus, liver, colon, rectum, and female breast cancer. I'm wondering how the rectum cancer got in there, or the female breast. I mean, maybe it's the rise of the body shot for the for the breast cancer, and I don't know what people are doing to get their rectum cancer from drinking. But that's basically, they're comparing two different data and then coming up with a third conclusion, which is basically, and we're going to go to school here for statistics. It's basically false causality, which is saying that the correlation does not, basically correlation should not imply causation. You're saying here's two separate things, and just because they look statistically significant doesn't mean they're statistically significant.
Right.
There wasn't a blind study on it that said, here we go, here's mild drinkers, heavy drinkers, and abstainers. Over a long period of time, you know, and then who has a higher cancer rate? They just basically took a series of studies and then compared them and came up with an erroneous conclusion. What's making me mad is that, this is a fairly prestigious magazine, the American Journal of Public Health, and it's being quoted and used over and over again in the media now, saying that even moderate drinking, which has been proven through blind studies, that it's good for your health. They're saying now it'll give you cancer, and somehow they're linking alcohol to breast cancer, and it makes no sense to me. It's basically just another attack on the American way of life.
It's the neo-prohibitionists just making a power move.
Yeah,
and they're shameless about it, and shame on that journal for publishing it, because it's if there was any other subject, they probably would have been like, no, we can't do this.
Yeah, basically it's ridiculous.
It's same thing.
You guys kept doing the show without me.
Yes,
we somehow continued on.
Somehow we soldiered
you
too. On. Sis.
Maybe
on.
The bravest because heroes of your because of your all of American
because
history.
Of your tiny tiny bladder. We managed to soldier on without you.
brave man.
All right. So basically, I'm really annoyed at this, at the American Journal of Public Health, because of that study, which it's bad science. It's just plain and simple bad science. They had a conclusion that they wanted to reach, and they found a way to reach it.
Exactly. They find their objective, and then they push toward it. I mean, it's like the anti-salutoline back in the day, and before Prohibition, when they had all these false studies. They said alcohol was, making people catch on fire and just all this. and they would inject.
Which was kind of true.
Right.
Because
I'm on fire when I drink.
They would inject rats with a syringe of alcohol, and the rat would die. And they're like, oh my God, look.
Look what happens. I mean, if something that weighs six ounces gets a half a pound of gin.
So that goes, is a good segue to the worldwide attack on alcohol.
Never stops.
Estonia. The parliament's attempting to limit sales of alcohol and advertising of alcohol.
They already have that in America and in England and probably most of the Western countries in the world. I mean, there's always been limits on advertising.
And also in
Egypt. When we were kids, it was never spirits. Well, when we were kids, there was. But then there was that long stretch. There was no spirits on TV. Right. You couldn't have them.
Yeah.
It's only been kind of recently, 5 years maybe, that you
cable
could.
Television kind of brought it back. Because
is that network, what it was?
Yeah, the big networks had to get finally start competing with the cable networks, who didn't have a problem.
But
with
who who bent that rule? Apparently,
it was a gentleman's agreement out of Prohibition. They decided the big networks all got together and said, "Okay, we're not going to allow spirits.
And
if you don't do it, we're not going to do it." And apparently, I remember back in the '90s, NBC or one of the network television channels started doing it. It was like Cuddy Sark or something. And then there's such a these freaking. This is during the Mad era, so there was a big outrage against it, so they stopped.
Okay, so I always thought there was. I'm sorry. I always thought there must be a rule or something.
It was.
It was just the handshake.
It was a gentleman's agreement within the industry.
Okay, so also Egypt. This is no surprise. I mean,
Muslims are against the booze now.
Egypt. You know, while it was a dictatorship, was a pretty secular society.
True.
It was horrible, but it was a secular society.
It was corrupt, but
and now that
also known as Islamists,
the Islamists have gotten into power. They stopped renewing licenses to sell alcohol in the new suburbs of Cairo.
That's why you don't hang out in the suburbs. That's just a rule of life, man. Who would know? I don't know if they sell them in the suburbs here, baby. Who goes to the suburbs anywhere?
But the more liberal people in Egypt are worried that this is just another way to squash down and enforce Sharia law. But it's interesting. There's a funny quote, and it's a weird quote. They stopped renewing licenses to sell alcohol, but the current ones will continue until they expire, which means when they expire, it's probably going to be that they won't renew them. But it says, representatives of the residents in new suburbs complained that the sale of alcohol leads to problems, including attacking women and randomly ringing doorbells of people's homes.
Oh, my God.
So those
the ring and run?
Yeah, basically.
That's one of the biggest problems Egypt's ever had.
So I guess in Egyptian suburbs.
Ding dong ditch.
I guess in Egyptian suburbs.
People are crazy.
People are getting drunk and they're running up and ringing the doorbell, and if a woman answers, they punch
her in
the face.
At least there's nothing else to worry about. That's your
thing. I'm just asking Egyptian drunkards.
Who's there?
I know there's so many Egyptian drunkards listening.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Please stop ringing doorbells and punching people in the face.
Okay. Yeah, just lay off. It's bad manners to do drunk or sober.
Okay, we're going to take a little break now. We're actually going to make some more gin and tonics, but we're actually going to review a product.
That looks like Satan's own urine.
Can I ask why gin looks, is that color, or will that come up in our...
All will be explained.
Okay.
Sure. Hold on a second.
Okay. I just have fear.
And be right back. Okay, and we're back. We've reloaded with some gin, and we're not just any gin, but this is a gin that we're going to actually review. This is our new segment in the Modern Drunkard podcast.
Sorry, I did that. I can't hear you, though.
Don't do that.
Okay. I hear the plum laughing. This plum, not the plum.
Okay, so we'll start again. This is an outrage. I will have you banned from podcasting.
This is what goes in. This is the part people love of podcasting. You have to leave it in.
No, we're not.
What?
No, we're cutting you out completely.
No, not me. This is an outrage, and us yelling.
An actual
you leave
outrage.
It in. That's a classic modern drunkard exchange.
How about I do the editing this evening?
Oh, we'll see. We call that the slow no. Right. And that should have been in, too.
Right. Anyway, and we're back. And we have refilled our gins, but we're actually going to start a new segment on the Modern Drunkard podcast, which is we're going to start doing
product review, which means send us your booze stuff. That's what that means, because we like free booze.
Oh, sure. No,
it tastes better.
If you have a liquor or a beer or a wine that you want reviewed, please send it to us.
Yes.
You can get the address from the Modern Drunkard website.
Drunkard.com.
And you guys are unflinchingly honest and also extremely knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. Those are the two things that you require of a good
When you're right,
editorial.
You're right, Sid, and you are right.
Yeah, stop kissing ass.
No. He's
tried it the other way, and guess what happened? Motherfucker called outrage, which should stand, but then he says he's going to cut out, but now he can't cut this part.
Tonight, I'm
Okay, and we're back. We made some more gin and tonics, but this time we're actually going to
review our product. It's an outrage.
Now it is an outrage. You're going to not throw any of that liquid gold in. You're going to say we're back and pretend like that didn't happen.
We had a little computer problem.
Yeah, we had a computer problem.
We lost the best part of this podcast.
No, we didn't lose it.
Irreplaceable.
It's never gold. It's never coming back. You missed it. Use your imagination.
This is how I start to get bad habits
because people make me get nasty when all of our mirth gets absorbed.
I didn't say you didn't have any bad habits. I just said you made a few bad habits.
When I said this is how they get sensual. Okay. You're not going to use any of that other stuff.
And welcome, listeners, to our product review section. We're drinking gin. The first thing we're going to be reviewing is a type of gin, so to speak.
It's called
the Homemade Gin Kit. And what you do is you buy this. $39?
$39, yeah.
$39.95.
I priced it at $38 on the blind.
Which is pretty good. You're pretty close.
You should be on the Price is Right.
I was a dollar off.
$2, let's say. $1.95.
Okay, let's say $2.
Okay. Anywho, what it is, essentially, they send you a strainer, a funnel, botanicals, dried juniper berries, two bottles. You buy a bottle of mid-range vodka, and you add the juniper berries and the botanicals to it, and you let them soak in there, and then you strain it out, and there you have gin.
It seems a little ridiculous to me.
Speaker, yield to a friendly question?
Yes, of course.
Since I know we don't like yelling and pretending like we're having fun, all that shit gets edited out. Do parliamentary procedure. It's an outrage if you have to go buy your own vodka, but that's fine. And just as a point of question, can you name the vodka that we use today as the center of this or not? And you don't have to tell me.
I can.
On the air.
I can, but I can't remember what it was. I remember it was a mid-range bottle.
All right, that's good. I was just wondering.
It was from Sweden. I remember. It's that cheap one from
Svedka.
It was Svedka. That's exactly what it was.
Which isn't bad vodka.
No, it's not good.
It's just good mid-range vodka.
Okay, and we're drinking this right now. What do you guys think?
It's kind of bland.
Bland?
I think it's kind of bland.
I think it has... I'm exact opposite. I know you're not a gin expert like I am, but I think I have the exact opposite opinion.
I know you're not as smart as
I mean, did you put any gin in mine? Because it tastes like tonic to me. It really does.
You out of the
and now, folks, that's what we call welcome to cheap seats.
Maybe
section.
You're starting to learn an appreciation of gin finally.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't taste like anything but tonic.
Get a little taste on
mine
you.
Doesn't taste like anything but tonic.
He's a gin expert, but then he threw me out for putting a little water. What's with water? You want to water down your drink? I'm going to water down my tonic.
I thought that was kind of strange. You added water to your gin and tonic because you don't like the sweetness of the tonic. Is that right?
I like it, but when I make them, I might make them. Two-thirds on the base, on our spirit base, maybe two-thirds low-carb ton, and then just straight tap water. Takes a little bit of the fizz out, cuts the sweetness. I think you are able to taste more of the spirits also because you're not overpowered by the tonic. But the tonic is beautiful.
My impression of it is it is
much more botanical taste. Hmm. Almost a licorice sort of taste to it.
Well, yeah, you don't have the juniper in there. I don't taste the juniper very much at all.
Junipers were definitely added to the...
But I don't really taste it. Hmm. I really don't.
It tastes like...
All right, are we good?
I don't know. Did we do this one more time?
Did we record the...
You don't... What? Motherfuck. Are you kidding me?
Well, we never got to the part where we're actually...
Okay, all right, I want you to make this sacred pact with me right now. No, don't say no.
We've done the gin.
We haven't heard Sid's.
No, we did. I'll tail it out if we.
No, but we're actually going to start it with your. I'm going to say. So, Sid, what is your impression of the gin?
Okay,
you ready?
Action. Sacred pact.
Go ahead.
You have to use some of that little banter that we all had.
When it's the fun part. Yeah.
No, use the non-fun part.
Oh, that's what I meant.
Okay. Fair enough.
And the question was...
You forgot the Mennonite thing in the booze news.
Oh, yeah.
Way to go. That'll be the breaking news. So, ready? Yes.
Okay, so this is...
We don't need to start it because we're already in this. Don't cut it apart. I will speak my mind about this gin if you don't mind.
So Sid, what is your impression of the gin?
My impression is different than Mr. Plummer's also, in as much as, as I said, I'm not a gin expert like you, Dr. Rich. I'm a recent convert, but once I go, I do full commitment, so I've been drinking a lot of gin. That being said, I drank it as I would use it, which I would add plum bitters to anything, so I can't speak purely on its own taste, but even with the bitters that I added, I think it does, I think it has more aromatic flavor than a bottled gin you get, you know, straight New Amsterdam, whatever, middling gin.
I agree, but is it worth $60?
Like, for the kit?
Well, it's the bottle. Essentially, it's $40
right, no,
for the
but
kit,
I mean, like, is it worth, bottle of is it vodka, worth $60. Just to clarify for our listeners, is it worth $60 for that whole kit? If, to your point, part of your grease is turning on a friend or someone you're trying to get in the sack or impress someone, swing your cock around, it probably is, because you give up the smaller bottle and this, and they're like, man, this cat, like you said, like, man, I didn't really do shit, but it's a good move.
You crafted your own gin,
right,
though.
Right. So if what you want out of a gin is to impress one of your friends or potential amorous partners, it probably is worth $60. If you what you're doing is like,
so you're
I
saying
like
if you're
gin,
a total tool.
That's, you know, everybody's different.
Yeah. Right.
But okay. Yes,
I'm
right.
A hater. I can't.
All right. All right. So we got that.
That's all. But if you just want a good gin for a go-to for $60, no.
Yeah. Right.
But part of the shtick is the shtick. So
yeah.
Like if you need that shtick, it's good.
Yeah. Everybody wants to craft their own stuff, and you can craft your own gin and right in the kitchen. Okay. It only takes like I think 36 hours total to do it. Which beats, you know, actually distilling.
How long do you have to leave the? Because that was a question I had.
The juniper
berries,
I think, was 24 hours. Then there's 12 hours for the botanicals. I could be wrong with that.
You know, it might be stronger if you leave it in there longer. I mean, I could.
Oh, you could leave it as long as you want. I mean,
does the kit come with a little booklet of like, here's how to do this? But you could obviously stray from that and see what you get.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, next product. It's called Nurse Nani's Hangover Sucks. And it is essentially, it's lozenges to cure your hangover. Three flavors, ginger, raspberry, and lime.
Well, I walked
you
in
guys
here.
Both, you guys both walked in with hangovers, and you both, I give you both one, and what do you guys think?
I just had to jump in with this because I love, and you should, follow Modern Drunkard on Twitter, because there's just great blurbs from the minds of the entire staff, which I think is probably just you keying
just
it
for
in.
Me. It's just
yeah.
All right, yeah.
I was trying to make it seem like more like an empire, but you have such great hangover lines, and I was like, I gotta go in with a decent hangover line because I'm hungover as fuck. So to keep within my industry, I just wanted to say this hangover needs a rewrite.
Nice.
And and I got it. Did that meet the standard of yours, of your lesser hangover tweets?
See, mine was a 12-ton shit hammer. That's pretty much how my hangover was. I was drinking root beer barrels with Sarah Fisher, who we had on it.
Yeah, you were begging for it.
She pours them, I drink them. I'm not going to argue if she goes, here, drink this. I'll go, okay, sure, you're
yeah, that's a hard argument.
You're in charge.
Root beer. Flavored schnapps is delicious. There's no question about
yeah,
it
just
it's also
hurts
for
the next
if
day.
You're 12.
So I had this Nurse Nona's hangover,
Nurse
Nani, whatever. It's it.
Don't
it, it
misquote.
Didn't, it didn't. It didn't do anything for me. I guess she is a registered nurse, and the only cure that I've ever had from nurses that worked was the saline solution.
Chlamydia.
Where they end up giving you.
For hangovers. Yes. Sorry.
Yes. Where they end up giving you an IV bag, and that works pretty good. It was a good IV the next day. Because I used to have roommates who were nurses, and that was the saline solution was a really good one. This, it's basically, the booze helped a little bit, but I don't think it did anything.
Did your nurse buddies who live with you bring kits home, like a drip?
Yeah.
Man, I love that.
Yeah, I'm looking at the ingredients of this.
I'll tell you my thoughts.
It's a couple of vitamins, and it's... maybe some kind of aspirin in there.
Well, I can see the ginger flavor helping with an upset stomach.
Yeah,
it didn't really do anything for me.
It's a great name. Hangover Sucks is the name of the product, which is great.
That's
but
great.
I would say Hangover Sucks. It doesn't work.
And Sid?
It's not strong enough.
Yeah, no, I'll make it quick. I couldn't even tell if it would have worked or not because of the ginger flavor put me was too pushy. So, like, lime, like, I'll eat a dog turd you put lime on it. That's why I love Mexico, because everything comes with lime.
Oh, I thought so you maybe said the lime, dog turds. Oh, no.
Yeah. Obviously.
Yeah,
fair. Maybe the lime I could have gone the whole distance with, but from what I could tell, it was like, this might work. Hangover sucks. Lozenges might work if you did six, like, straight out the gate. And just suck them down.
Up. I think if you ground them up and put them in your drink, that
or
might
insufflated yeah. them.
I just don't think there's enough in there to actually make an effect. Okay, and our third Agreed. Product we're going to review is Happy Hour Vitamins. I've actually been test fitting this for like the last 2 weeks. And actually, and if you look at the supplement facts on the back of the thing, it has everything that you need to, that's been tested over time that affects the hangover. And it's got huge, you know, amounts of the B vitamins, and it's got milk thistle.
You said it had some taurine, maybe a little pick
up. It's got taurine in there. It's got green leaf. It has some pick me up stuff in there as well. But it's got a ton of vitamins, and it's this stuff. Actually, I've been trying this because I drink every night, and this stuff actually seems to have an effect.
Well, I took some, Frank Rich? No way.
This is actually good stuff. There might be some other products out there similar to this, but I've been trying this, and you know, and drunks do need a specific set of vitamins to, if you're going to drink a lot, you need to take. And this apparently has them all, and you take three capsules. They suggest that, you know, three a day if you drink every day, which I do. And it suggests also, with your first drink, take three. And then before you go to sleep, if you've been doing the, you know, epic drinking event, take three. And this stuff actually seems to work. I mean,
Say the efficacy of Happy Hour Vitamins is notable.
I'm down for it. I mean, I'm going to reorder this stuff because it works.
And I don't want to throw another product in there, but just as a question, because they were an old sponsor. It still counts. Psychosomatic counts. Like, sure. If you read that and you're like, I feel better, then it worked. But RU21, remember that? They were a sponsor.
Oh, those thing. Never worked
okay,
for me.
But so yeah. How does it stack against that? Because I know a lot of people still use that.
I know. That stuff never worked for me either.
Well, and I remember it said you have to take a capsule with each drink. Like,
who pays?
Well,
I mean,
great. I got to buy 16 of them. Yeah,
exactly. I would say this about, not to belabor RU21. I agree if... can't be anything like this based on what you've said. It probably only worked for me because I take a lot of pills, so like take one with every drink was like, wow, I'm taking a bunch of pills with every drink, so just throw that one in.
Well, I took three of these, and we'll see what happens. I'll know tomorrow. I'll bring it up on the next podcast.
But then this is also metered out. That's good. It says take three. It's not right. If one with every drink could be like, well, I took 25 of those, and now I have liver failure from fucking trying to process 800 milligrams of milk thistle or something. Yeah. Like, you know, you just fucked yourself.
Milk thistle is really good for your liver, actually.
Yeah, well, not if you don't crank through a half pound.
No, it doesn't affect you that way. It doesn't put any labor on the liver. It actually helps you process alcohol.
And this logic is brought to you by Joke Killer.
So I say thumbs up on the Happy Hour Vitamins for sure.
Well,
thank you. Can you give us some? Did they send us a case to Modern Drunkard Empire?
Yeah, how much are they? That's the question. If you got to take three.
Oh, that's a good question. Because three and three is...
No idea. It's for me. They sent me two bottles and you know, 90 pills each, and say three a day. I say six thumbs up. I mean,
well, six a day if you drink heavily, which you do.
I've always taken vitamins because if you're going to drink, you should take a vitamin. Yeah. You should exercise, all that kind of bullshit. But this stuff actually seems geared toward drinkers, and I say it's a winner.
All right. Well, I'm going to reserve judgment. I would like until. Till we see.
And I know we have to move on. My last point, since I was so great at the blind price guess of our other product, I'm going to say if so you said it's two up of those, you can't buy a single bottle. It's always a pair.
No, they sent me two.
Oh. So. I say if you find that in the store, that is that's going to be $24.95.
Really?
That expensive, you think? Like, it's
well, I'm also hoping to goad the sponsor into calling us back. Say, like, no, it's only $17.95.
And
like,
here's
great,
bunch.
Motherfucker. Send us a pallet.
It probably is. I don't know. I'll find out.
All right.
Pick up the Mennonites.
The Mennonites. Well, the Mennonites have been running. Yeah, I think we're almost done with our drinks.
Yeah, actually, we'll get to the midnights in a second. We'll take a little break here.
No,
and we'll have another
drink. I was just going to... I'll make the drinks.
Okay, okay. No, Sid's
going
to
mix... Well, Frank's still working on his somehow.
Because I don't want to be the guy who, even though I already has, fucked the whole party. Another?
All right.
I mean, I don't want to push you on this. Plum takers or no?
Yes.
Yeah. So... The Mennonites have been running a series of anti-alcohol ads on the radio.
On Denver radio.
On the 247 comedy channel, the one that's all stand-up comedy.
No kidding.
And they've been running a series of ads complaining about advertising for alcohol. There's actually a lot of anti-alcohol stuff on that channel.
Why would that be? Is this like the family-friendly comedy channel?
No.
Really, I mean, just a regular comedy channel.
So that's all they run is stand-up comedy. They do George Carlin. They do Chris Rock. Nope. Of course, they edit out the obscenities because it's radio. But the Mennonites have been buying. I think it's because they're starting out, and so radio ads are cheap. So they're buying this, and they, you know, and I find it weird that Mennonites are actually using radio.
Yeah, because they're the Luddites, right? They don't believe in
not as much as the Amish, but yeah,
right, they're anti-technology.
As far as I know,
they
yes.
say we should all live on farms and not have buttons and that sort of thing.
So.
And they're against drinking. And
they're
and
well
for some reason now they're trying to tell the rest of the world not to drink.
Yeah, exactly. And they're saying they
want to shorten everybody's lives essentially.
Yeah.
What is their motivation?
I think their motivation is, I don't know what their motivation is. I mean, basically, they want everyone to be religious like they are. And
let's look into this. Let's do some journalistic research and actually.
You want us to actually have facts, Frank?
No, no. I'm saying we should actually find out why these guys are trying to be the new anti-saloon league and trying to push this.
It's probably from what I gather, there's a lot of different sects of Mennonites, and it's probably just one. Splinter group who really has decided
right,
to go.
Tell me what the commercial's saying. Give me like a version of it.
You have this pastor come on and he goes, well, he starts complaining about advertising around the beginning of the school year. He claims that there's more advertising for alcohol around that time. Then it's ruining our youth. So that it's aimed at youthful drinking. There's another one that just basically goes, do you have a problem? Does your friend have a problem? Are you worried about your friend? And, that kind of stuff. So it's then go to keeping families together. So basically it's saying that alcohol wrecks families.
Bullshit. Alcohol.
And that is going.
Alcohol is cement of families. It's the very cement of society.
I mean, my son's 21. I drink beer with my son. And we're going to actually probably have an episode at some point where we discuss. Drinking with your father is always a great coming of age feeling when your dad like cracks a beer and hands you a beer and goes, there you go, you're responsible enough, you're old enough, let's have a beer together. And it's a great feeling.
Which for me was about 8 years old.
But it doesn't destroy a family. I mean my family, my parents are still together, and my dad drinks. Your family's still together.
Absolutely. It's been my dad. When I was growing up, my dad was a very hard drinker. I mean, I grew up in Vegas and Reno, and he was drunk quite a bit. And he raised seven kids, and we're all a crack addict. Everybody has a respectable job aside from myself. I'm like the black sheep.
You don't call this respectable, Frank?
I'm the black sheep of the family, and I make my way, and it's my dad gave me my first beer when I was like 8 years old, a can of beer, a can of Coors. He gave me my first taste of Jack Daniels when I was 12 years old, and both of those, I still remember those experiences for some reason. They stick in my head, and they were great times. I mean, it was part of growing up. I'm not saying everybody should do that, but for me it worked out. I thought it was it bonded me and my father.
Yeah, it's a bonding experience. I mean, it's yet again there's a ritual that is around alcohol, that has been around alcohol since prehistoric times. That and the ritual, there's a ton of different rituals that are involved in it, and that's the thing.
A little water, you tell me if that helps or not.
You put water in my cocktail.
I wanted you to try.
Okay.
You tried the plum and you like. I cut our tonic back with a little water.
Oh.
But I think it's important that there's a ritual involved with alcohol. And there's always a ritual. There's a variety of rituals. It's a ritualistic thing. The buying of shots for your friends, the toast, the bonding with your friends. Like when you meet someone, you're like, hey, you know, let's go out and get a drink. When you haven't seen a friend in 10 years, you're like, you don't say, well, let's go get some tea down at the local coffee shop.
No.
You go, hey, dude, I haven't seen you in 10 years. Let's go get a couple of beers and catch up.
You don't meet new great friends in a coffee shop. Like, you know, you have a cup of coffee together and it's like, you know, oh, we're great friends now.
Exactly.
You can make a lifelong friend in a bar just by getting drunk that night. And then all of a sudden you guys have this common experience. You'd be down the same little road together, where you get totally drunk. Drunken breaks down all the barriers, and you start, you know, revealing more about yourself. All the false facades, you know, collapse, and there.
But
you
it's
are,
still disinhibiting, so that both people feel safe enough to have that, like, not this over psycho, but you know.
No, exactly.
But you won't have it's in the totally coffee true. Shop. Everyone has a mask on.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's.
I don't think coffee.
Pretension
caffeine
disappears.
Caffeine
anything.
I mean, alcohol brings out the real you. So
it
if
does.
You if you're an asshole, it's going to come out.
Right.
So, but basically, I think it's very. You know, the ritual about alcohol is very important, and that's the thing with a father son drinking. I have no backing on the mother daughter drinking, but I'm sure it's there as well.
Could be mother-son drinking.
Mother-son drinking.
Dad-daughter drinking.
Yeah, but it's the acceptance and the bonding moment. I think that's very important. I'm ranting about that. But, okay, moving on.
Can I say one quick thing? Because I think it's germane.
Sure.
Make it quick. Because I used to work for this ethnographic researcher, and one of his big clients was Miller Coors. So a lot of times we go out on the road, and the whole thing is that you go into like people's homes, small groups of people, blah, blah, blah. And the booze company is trying to figure out like what makes something natural. What's made the, you know, they're trying to cash in on the green tip of like how can we make a beer this way. But one of the questions they had was, you know, if something is natural or this it adds to your quality of life and blah blah. And so people would weigh in on that, like, it's probably healthier, it's probably this. I'll never forget this one interview. It was a guy, of course, he's a European guy, and he says, I think that whatever alcohol is, you have to do it for your quality of life, because whether you believe whatever health thing it does or doesn't do to you, one big thing of the quality of life is that moment. Alcohol, you go out in the world and you bond with people and you bond around that. And I was like, this guy just cracked the nut. Like,
sure.
You're not going to reinvent anything. Like, let's make a natural this or this because of the quality of your life. I'm going to live 6 months longer because this is made with gluten-free beer or whatever the fuck it is. And he just nailed it. He was like, it doesn't matter. A part of the quality of life is what alcohol brings to us. So
sure.
The health fears or whatever, rumors about it shouldn't even matter.
Yeah.
In my mind, because...
But what's ironic, though, is alcohol will actually add 10 years to your life. If you drink moderately,
right.
10 years.
Right.
If you drink excessively, you're still going to be on a certain level. If you don't drink at all, you're going to die earlier than anybody else.
Because you're stressed out.
Teetotalers die first.
And that's a great point. And I think that...
Yeah, look at George Burns.
And I think that goes to the quality of life.
102.
Who?
George Burns.
Yeah, exactly.
Smoked cigar, drank...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Back to the booze news, they found out that mankind, or our predecessors, for 10 million years, we have been...
I saw your link.
Attached to alcohol. I mean, it was probably like eating fermented berries.
No, whatever. I've always promoted that.
Right.
Fact, 10 million
super
years ago,
primates were doing
10 million years ago, our primate ancestors were starting to... were genetically adjusting to alcohol because... Suddenly, alcohol is being introduced into our system because we were eating fermented berries. So essentially, our primate ancestors were drinking 10 million years ago.
Well, yeah, there's a species of New World monkey that will leave a tree alone. And they'll eat all the fruit, and then they'll leave a couple trees alone.
No
and then
kidding.
When they rot,
no,
they'll go
true.
And they'll eat them and get wasted and fall out of the trees and have a great time.
That is
so,
awesome.
You know,
no,
it's, that's
right.
Anecdotal side evidence that you use in anthropology a lot that basically says... Well, look, these primates were doing it, so how come we weren't doing it? And one of the, you know, it's the bread versus beer hypothesis that the reason why humanity settled down to farm wasn't to make bread, it was to make beer, because beer in its original form was kind of soggy bread mush before hops, before style. And then you bake it,
and
you lose all of the vitamins when you bake it. But when you drink the beer before, you know, it has the vitamins, tons of B vitamins and yeast. It's much more nutritious. Beer in its original form is much more
nutritious. And it lasts longer than bread. Bread's going to go rough on you.
So they're thinking the reason why, at least in the Fertile Crescent, they settled down to start farming barley was they originally said bread, but it's more and more it's looking like it was beer.
Which I believe.
I totally believe.
My last tip on that.
Yeah, in other places it was wine.
I would much be more likely to move to a city if they had beer as opposed to bread.
And in Mesoamerica, it was pulque, which
I'd be much more inclined to move to a city because I love cities. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
I mean, life was harsh. It was like when Shakespeare said, short and nasty. It was a terrible, life. If you could find some small escape from that, which is back then was just beer, fucking just gets you out of your mind a little bit, you would take it.
And also, unlike now, when life is not a short, brutal affair that's miserable, when it's awesome. It was just back then when it sucked.
But it's also,
everybody wants to live forever.
But also all the water was polluted. People didn't drink water because water...
No. Had dead bodies floating in it.
They'd water their wine. Basically, the wine would kill anything. They didn't know this, but they realized that if you just drank straight water, you're going to die of something. And if you water your wine... Because people would be drunk all day, basically, because they'd start the day and they'd have a little small beer, and which is just a short beer, and then they'd have watered down wine all day to drink.
Known as the Chopi in Brazil.
So, and in Mesoamerica, they had pulque, which is corn, basically a corn
and
alcohol.
It's made with spit.
Yeah, it is. They chew the corn, spit it in, and the saliva.
Fucking, I'm out. The on saliva. That. I don't care.
The saliva breaks down the starches into sugars and then ferments it.
Life is a short, brutal affair.
I mean, pulque they're selling now is pulque they're selling now that you can buy at the store isn't corn. It's agave. It's basically.
But is it still Mexican spit? I don't care.
They don't use the spit. They don't use the spit on the fuck? Pulque you can buy.
Nah, that's now.
But traditional pulque
it's like Thu Jones free absinthe. It's like here's pulque made with no spit.
Yeah, exactly. So let's have some spit made pulque.
It's like here's a car made with no engine. Oh, I love it.
So yeah,
my last tip would say that it wasn't only primates and super primates that did that. They still find today that elephants there's.
Oh,
at least seven other species
time,
that
yeah.
will do the same thing. We'll wait and they just and go right. on fermented fruit because it puts us in this state.
Right.
No. And you can't deny that. Of course. You're like, if an elephant is going to fucking do it, an elephant needs 200 pounds of food to live. Okay, so he's not hauling his cookies somewhere to get a half ounce of fucking fruit if it's not getting him something.
Yeah.
I'm just saying elephants know, No,
it makes total sense to me. No matter what species you are, you need that exit out of the daily grind. I mean, you need something that's going to take you away from it.
Away from hauling logs with your trunk.
Right. I know the pharmaceutical companies now are trying to replace that with all these stupid pills. But, the problem with those pills is they're not social.
They aren't social.
No, they're not.
No.
You go to the bar and you drink with people. Or you can pop a pill by yourself.
No, and you're right. And as someone who's at the crossroads, I know it's not completely our culture here at MDM, but as someone who does both, yes, I can do that by myself, but there's never a time when you're like, hey, man, you want to go out and just pill up all night? Yeah. Like, maybe, like, the rave time was the only time you did.
Pill
it's like,
shot together, man.
Right, yeah, there's no bonding because there's nothing there. Yeah.
And then look at the music that the rave time created.
No, let's not look at the music the rave time came.
Also, the pills have no flavor. I mean, you just shot a tequila together. You guys are all experiencing the same taste. I mean, it's like...
Yeah. And everyone makes that face.
The twitchy face? The twitchy...
I should say everyone. Me, for sure.
Everyone makes the Dennis Hopper face.
I was like, you got no pulque around here? None of this no spit shit either, man. I want the real thing. Spit in yourself when you send it over.
So one more thing I wanted to talk about was the Aykroyd effect, which Carl, who was on our So last previous podcast, Carl Christian Krumholz came up with this, and I think
not
he's exactly
a Nazi
right.
Nazi sympathizer,
and basically,
for sure.
And basically, the Aykroyd effect is that the better the bottle, the worse the alcohol.
You're referencing the Skol.
Yeah, the Skol vodka, which is
an awesome bottle.
In the Skol. Yes,
it's an awesome bottle.
We've all bought it because of that.
Yeah,
it's filtered through diamonds, which basically is the same thing as filtering it through gravel. It doesn't do
coal,
anything.
Or coal, right?
No, coal. Coal might work because coal is permeable.
I've just said
diamonds are impermeable.
I mean, diamonds are so hard.
Diamonds are made from coal.
What is it going to do to the filter out?
Well, it's impermeable.
It's going to do nothing because they're so pure. They don't have. They're not porous. It's like pouring it over another piece of glass.
It's a marketing bullshit thing. And so, yeah, it's a horrible vodka that Dan Aykroyd put out. I'd like to think that Dan Aykroyd did it as a joke.
I've tried the vodka, and it's tasted to me like a mid-range vodka.
It's horrible. I think it's horrible.
Isn't.
I don't know.
I can't weigh in on this particular vodka.
But it is basically, the juniper is the botanical that flavors the neutral grain spirits.
They add the other juniper and the botanicals after they've got.
So you get for talking down to me instead of talking to me as a peer. Right. I hope you're happy. Don't get that shit on me. I want to smell like beer. I'll hang out with my dad. And it's all over the floor.
Oh, it's all right.
Yeah, it's great.
It's a tiki room, man.
Just a really itch about shit. Or, as I like to say, that's one of my bad habits.